Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read the first couple of verses and then we'll jump to where we left off last week. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my listeners, Lord, that you would open their ears, enlighten the eyes of their understanding, Lord, just as Paul prayed. Lord, I want that we should see Jesus Christ. My motivation for this program, for my ministry, and hopefully for my life, is that people would look at me, look at what I do, look at what I say, and that they would see Jesus Christ, that somehow, Lord, my life would glorify you. And Lord, I hope in this I can be an example to my listeners. Lord, I'm sure that most of them will not ever preach a sermon. Most of them will never get on the radio. Most of them won't go to a mission, to the mission field. But Lord, in their jobs, in their family, as they go to the store to buy groceries, Lord, that their life, their words, their mannerisms, their speech would be an example of Jesus Christ. Lord, let them learn, Lord, as I've had to learn, that our lives could be an example to others and a witness of Christ. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we stopped last week, I guess at around verse 13 was the last thing that I really mentioned. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." And I began to go a little bit further, a few verses down, but really didn't get too far. But I said that the rest of the chapter, yes, it's talking about wisdom, but it's also talking about Jesus Christ. And in after a fashion, it's prophesying of the coming Messiah. And obviously, Proverbs is in the Old Testament. The incarnation of Christ was in the future when Solomon was writing this. But it's talking about wisdom, and we should look to wisdom. And it says that in verse 1, that wisdom cries out to us. It cries out to Christians. It cries out to sinners. That it stands in the top of the high places, it says, and cries out that mankind would listen to the word of God, that they would understand, that they would seek it, they would try to understand what wisdom is, and try to live their lives according to God's way. But in this, there's a device that God uses, and by device I mean that the Word of God is very rich. The Word of God has many figures of speech. It has many, many different ways that it tries to get the message across. And one of the things that I like, that I enjoy when I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading about one thing and all of a sudden it's apparent that God is saying something else. He'll be talking about something mundane, and then all of a sudden there's this little snippet, a few verses of prophecy, and then after the prophecy's finished, you read, and the person seems to have left that and is just talking about whatever it was he was saying. God does this many times, and I hope that I can explain it well, but God will do this many times. If you're reading a passage, it's talking about one thing, or perhaps one person is speaking, and then all of a sudden you realize that he's saying something else. And many times there will be a reference to one thing and a second or a double reference to something else. We've been saying all the time that we've been in Proverbs that there's a tug of war, there's a contrast, that there's something that goes back and forth. He's talking about wisdom, that we should look to wisdom, that we should look to God and ask him for understanding and judgment. And he mentions discretion and a few other words, that we should be trying to follow God. But then he'll contrast someone that is not wanting to follow God at all, someone that is wanting to go his own way and do his own thing. And he'll say that wisdom is as a virtuous woman, as a godly wife, what have you, maybe as someone unmarried, but someone that you would desire to marry. But those that are not willing to follow God, he gives, and over he says this in the book of Proverbs, and especially these few chapters that we're studying. He'll say that those that are not wanting to follow God are those that are trying to lead you astray. It's pictured as a not-so-virtuous woman, as somebody who would lead you astray in sexual sin. And over and over and over again, he says the same thing. And if God says something once, we probably ought to listen because it's important. When he says it again and again and again, he's trying to get the message through. And we really should listen up to what he says. But he gives this contrast between the righteous wanting to partake of knowledge and understanding and God's wisdom. But he contrasts it with those that are trying to lead you astray and who don't want anything to do with wisdom. He calls them fools, those that don't want God. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Something that I enjoy when I'm reading the Bible is when he's saying one thing, a long passage, whatever, on one particular topic, and then all of a sudden, a few verses, it's obvious he's talking about something else. In this case, in Proverbs, starting about verse 14, we know that he's talking about wisdom, and obviously the Holy Spirit is behind this, asking man, pleading with man, begging with man, that he would follow God. But when you get to verse 14, it stops around verse 31. It begins to talk about, something else. It begins to talk about Jesus Christ. You can see Jesus, you can hear Jesus himself. And he's still saying wisdom. He's still talking about wisdom, but there's also another voice there. There's also another person there speaking, talking about Jesus Christ. And you can hear Christ himself speaking. Now, again, this kind of this method that God will use in the Bible, I called it a device earlier. He uses this quite often, but one of the things that's interesting to me, and since we're talking about contrasting between wisdom and foolishness, let me show you another place that he will. Again, like I said, there's one train of thought, and then all of a sudden it's obvious right in the middle of that something else is being spoken about or someone else is speaking. In Isaiah chapter 14, God is giving us a description of the Antichrist. And then all of a sudden you realize that, yes, he's speaking about the Antichrist in all of the verses, but then a few verses, it's like Satan also is speaking. And again, in Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll be reading about the Prince of Tyre, which is talking about the Antichrist. But then it also says, it starts speaking about the King of Tyre, which we understand is Satan. Now, I'm hoping that you're catching what I'm saying. And I'll urge you to read, again, chapter 14 of Isaiah and chapter 28 of Ezekiel. And perhaps you'll see what I'm talking about. And I don't have time to turn there. I want to spend my time on another example of this method that God uses to speak to us. In Proverbs, wisdom is being talked about. And wisdom itself is saying, hey, listen to me. But again, in verse 14 through, like I said, verse 31, we can hear the voice of Christ. We can hear Christ speaking. So let's go ahead and pick it up. And if I explained it poorly, I apologize, but hopefully you'll see what I'm saying. We started off saying in verse 1 that doth not wisdom cry. But then in verse 14, wisdom is still speaking, but listen to what's here. He says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. We know that Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor. He says, counsel is mine, but Christ is the wonderful counselor. Verse 15, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles even the judges of the earth. But we know that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We know that God sets up kings and puts down kings. I'm not really very happy about the politics that we have in our state and our nation, but he will put one leader in power and he'll figure out, hey, that's not working, or he'll do something foolish or stupid or whatever, and then he'll go ahead and put that man out of office. And, you know, I guess we could say that we wish he would put people down out of office more often. But he's the King of kings. Let's look at verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also said, he says, those that seek me early shall find me. We know that we can seek God and will be found of him if we seek him with our whole heart. Look at verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. We know that Jesus Christ is righteousness. We know that he has durable riches. We understand from the Gospels that if we keep our treasure down here, if we put our stuff in the bank, or we collect gold, or we collect something, and we put it, let's say we dig a hole and put our gold in the backyard, if we have our treasure here on earth, then that's where our heart is. But if we lay up treasure in heaven, then our heart will be directed toward heaven. If we put our treasures in heaven, it says that moth and rust won't corrupt it, won't eat it, won't rot it. We can have durable riches. In verse 19, and we referenced this earlier, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. We know that Christ leads us. We know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that we're to be led of him. In verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now he's speaking of wisdom, like I said, but he's also speaking of something else, and hopefully this will become more clear. He said, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old." Now we know the beginning. In the beginning was the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Before he created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, he said that the Lord possessed wisdom. And look at verse 23. "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." And again, like I said, this is talking about Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. But Jesus, in the book of John, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham, I am. In Psalms chapter 2, and we're going to turn there in a little bit. Well, actually, we can turn there now. Let's look at Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 is a wonderful psalm. It talks about those that hate God. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" And you can find rebellion, you can find riot, you can find those that are struggling against righteousness in this psalm. But he said in verse 6 of Psalm chapter 2, "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And he says, "Be wise," which is what we're talking about, wisdom. "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." But this passage is talking about Christ. We know that the king, Jesus is the king. But look at verse 7 here. He says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son," which we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. "This day I have begotten thee." And we know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Lord. But Jesus is God. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the book of, like I said, the chapter 8 of Proverbs, we see all three working in that chapter. But Jesus Christ is God. He was before the beginning. We just talked about Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. Jesus was before the beginning. Jesus was there creating the heavens and the earth with God the Father and God the Son. We know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are eternal. They existed before everything. When everything's all over, they'll continue to exist. We know that God has no beginning. And if you want to talk about the order of Melchizedek, that Melchizedek was a priest that Abraham paid tithes to. It says that Melchizedek didn't have a beginning, and he didn't have an ending. Now, I know he was born, he had a mother, and I know eventually he died. But it's not recorded that he had a mother. It's not recorded that he came from anywhere, and it's not recorded where he went. And that is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a form of a prophecy that Christ would come. He didn't have a beginning because he's everlasting. He's God. And he didn't have an end. And that's one of the things when we talk about the great doctrines of the church. We mention Melchizedek and that Christ was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it talks about the fact that God, he became a man in the form of Jesus Christ. But he existed from everlasting. But he says right here in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, "I will declare the decree." A decree means, I'm going to say that, hey, let's do this. Or I'm going to say that this shall be done. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Jesus existed forever. Jesus existed from before the beginning. But at some point in God's past, in the eternal past, God decided that he would make the earth. God decided that he would make man. And God knew that man would fall into sin. And we can read in Genesis chapter 3 about the fall of man. We can read of how these things happen. But God knew in the beginning, or before the beginning even, that man would fall into sin and man would need a Savior. And it was decided that Jesus would become the Christ. He would become the Son of God. He would become the anointed one that God would lead us into salvation. This day, he says, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. And then it talks about, Ask of me, and I will give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And obviously what he's talking about here is salvation. Jesus came to the earth, but he came for one purpose. He didn't come to perform miracles. He didn't come to raise Lazarus from the dead. He didn't come to give the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, he did all of those things, but he came to die on the cross. He came to give his life a ransom for many. But let's go ahead and turn back to Proverbs chapter 8. And let's look at more of this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me just very quickly flip there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and blemish, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifest in these last times for you. So Peter's referencing the fact that Jesus existed forever, but at some point he was ordained. We just read that I will declare the decree. He was ordained before, foreordained, before the foundation of the world, before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that he would be the Savior of mankind. He would be the Savior of the world. But jumping back to Proverbs, chapter 8. If you look at verse 30, and I'm sort of running out of time, I'd like to jump ahead. In verse 30, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, this is Jesus here talking, that he was with the Father as one brought up with him, and that talks about the fact that he would become the Son of God. Now, again, let me say that Jesus always existed. He was always God, but his role as Son was decided that this was going to be. And if you're getting confused, I apologize. This is one of the cardinal doctrines that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he would come to deliver mankind from their sin, that he would die on the cross for us. But at some point, his role was decided that he would be the one that would come down here to deliver us. But it talks about, and my delights were with the sons of men. And again, that's referencing the fact that in becoming the Son of God, his role, his duty, his mission, if you want to call it that, was to come and to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, that we would find salvation, that we would be forgiven of our sins, that we would have those durable riches in heaven. The only way we could get them is that Christ would die in our place. Now, starting at verse 32, and I'll quickly go through it, he basically, in the beginning part of the chapter, he was talking about wisdom, and all through it, all every verse of it, all 36 verses, he's talking about wisdom. But from verse 14 to verse 31, Christ also is talking. But then at verse 32 to the end, we go back to just basically, mainly just talking about wisdom. He says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." You know, we should keep his commandments, it says. "Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates." You know, you should pray and read the Bible every day. "Waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.